Working moms can feel trapped in a glaring contradiction. There's this narrative that they should be able to have it all because they can do it all, both at home and at work. But in fact, it's nearly impossible to live that story, given the ways the deck is stacked against them, from workplace policies to inflexible office and childcare hours. We simply are not set up to allow working moms to lean in to everything all at once. Catherine Goldstein is a journalist who writes about working mothers. She's also the creator and host of the podcast, The Double Shift, and she's with me today. Catherine, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So what made you take this on as a journalist and create this podcast?
So I think that we need a lot more diverse stories about the experience of being a working mother. A lot of times we are interested in talking about motherhood, but usually it's through the lens of parenting. So I wanted to create a show that was about the experience and identity of being a working mother, and I wanted to profile people and stories that I feel like we really haven't heard before. So on the show, we talked to everyone from politicians to musicians to sex workers to executives to get really, really fresh ideas and stories about working motherhood in America.
There's still plenty of discrimination against women in the workplace in general. How is it different for mothers?
Unfortunately, anti-mom bias, specifically in the workplace, I would say is an epidemic in American workplaces, as well as pregnancy discrimination. So mothers, unfortunately, face huge obstacles with both getting hired, promotion, and getting paid fairly for their work. And there's a lot of still sense in our workplaces that you can't be a good mother and a good worker at the same time, even though there's lots of studies that show that working mothers are actually more productive than your average worker.
Well, and studies that show there's no real negative impact on children all by itself, having a working mother.
Certainly. There's no impact that the idea that working mothers are somehow damaging to children, I think, has been thoroughly debunked. But I think also the idea that we're being a working mother is just some sort of light choice that people make isn't really true for the current economy. Most families that have two parents, both parents work, and a majority of mothers in America work. So the idea, this isn't a niche issue at all.
Right. Now, when something fundamental happened to our economy somewhere in the late 70s and early 80s, where one worker going to the factory every day could afford to actually support a family of four. That fundamental shift has never been properly examined. But if we take a look at who got cheated in that deal, we might have a better understanding of why we're in this situation in the first place. But to your point that there isn't this, that the discrimination may be there, but even the children of parents and mothers who are working don't really have that sense that they were somehow cheated or didn't get all they deserved. And I think this comes out best. I want you to talk about one of the episodes you did, the night shift in Sin City. Talk about that episode.
So we are currently facing a child care crisis in America. And unfortunately, I don't feel like there's a lot of new ideas and fresh thinking and great reporting that is going into this. Luckily, I'm very excited that some presidential candidates are starting to talk about pre-K and child care in new and exciting ways. But a lot of times it feels like the conversation starts and ends with, oh, child care is expensive. That's too bad. So we wanted to really examine something that I think has been underexplored. So we went to a 24-hour daycare in Las Vegas, where a lot of the women who send their kids there are single mothers, they're shift workers, and sometimes they go to school all day and work overnight. And this is a part of the economy that I think just is not getting talked about when we talk about childcare in America, and I think their voices really need to be heard on these issues.
And you also spoke with Diana Moreno, whose mother didn't take advantage of that, or maybe didn't have the advantage, if you call it that, of this overnight daycare. But here's what Diana said about her mother's solution, because she was working in Las Vegas and mother had to work overnight. Let's listen to what Diana has to say about the experience.
When my parents moved here from California, my parents ended up becoming restroom attendants. And after school, my mom didn't have anywhere to leave me. She really didn't. So I was either under the sink, and that's where I would be until her shift was over, because I understood, you know, what my mom had to go through. And you know, until she was done with her shift about 2-3 in the morning, then, you know, go home and then boom, back to school. But it happens. It, like I'm saying, maybe that's why I do work as hard as I do. And working at a daycare. I get to take care of kids and parents who don't have that option.
That's Diana Moreno, a daycare provider now in Las Vegas. Catherine Goldstein interviewed her for an episode of The Double Shift, a podcast about working moms. Catherine is the creator and host of that, and my guest today. She is hosting a listening party along with our very own Anita Rao at the Pinhook in Durham on May 14th. And we've got details at our website, stateofthings.org. And I think you could hear very clearly in her voice that, you know, something that may send a shock of horror through us is not something that she was horrified by. She understood that this was not much, her mother didn't have much of an option.
Yeah, I think that the idea of childcare being expensive and difficult is unfortunately not a new problem. This is a generational problem to the point where someone who was raised with a mother who was dealing with serious childcare problems is now a daycare provider herself. So I think that I want to live in a world where we're not having this same conversation 20 years from now. So that's why I think we need a lot of new reporting and fresh thinking and fresh policy solutions, honestly, to some of these issues.
Well, speaking of policy, women in politics and mothers in politics is one of the issues as well. It's a field that remained largely closed to mothers, that being politics. Once things have started to change, an unprecedented number of women ran in the 2018 midterm elections, and for the first time, many of them held up their motherhood as a political asset. Ashton Wheeler Clemens did so and won the election. She's a Democratic member of the North Carolina General Assembly. She represents the state's 57th House District, which includes parts of Greensboro, featured in an episode of The Double Shift called The Candidate Who Carpools, and she joins us now. Ashton, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
When you were considering a run for office, did you think that motherhood was going to have to play a role and be, you know, part of the issue as you ran?
Sure. I think motherhood is fundamental to who I am, so I can't make any decision or any thoughts about what I'll do with my life without that being part of that decision, both running and serving. And so it's thinking about what that means for you and then also what it means for your family when you make a decision to run for office.
And make it part of your campaign and really place it at the or near the center of your campaign. What about that decision? Why did you make that?
Well, in the North Carolina House, we have 120 members. And until this election, there were no women with school-age children in the North Carolina House. This year, we now have three of us. But many of the policy decisions that are made here in the legislature are about things impacting our children and families. And so we need mothers who understand what child care costs mean, what health care costs mean, what it means when you need to take 2 weeks off to take care of your children who are sick all of a sudden. We need people who understand what that means for families in our state. And that's a critical voice. So as I was campaigning, that was a lot of what I was talking about. And they're the things that matter. They're morally the right things to do. But my passion and insight is really governed by myself and the families I see around me.
So what was your experience running as a mother, running for office? What did you get much pushback?
Yes, I think people are, and this is why I think the podcast is so great, the people are not used to seeing mothers with young children in the role of politician or really in leadership across all of our segments of society. And so I think running and serving, it makes people uncomfortable. They don't know what to do with it. And this can be people who are supportive of you or are not, who just aren't sure how to deal with a politician who has young children with us or someone that has to make the decision to be in Raleigh for several days in a row and has young children at home. That's something that I get many comments about, questions about, and my husband does as well, because we don't have enough people out there showing that this can be another way being a successful politician or leader can look.
Catherine, it's so fascinating. You mentioned the research on the effectiveness of working moms. They tend to be more efficient. We talked about the impact, the research on impact on children. There is no research on working fathers because nobody bothers to ask.
That's very true. I think that the kinds of questions that Ashton is getting as one of three members of the North Carolina legislature with young kids, I guarantee you there's way more than three fathers in the North Carolina legislature, and no one's asking who's taking care of your kids. We still have these very deeply ingrained notions that I think are only going to be broken down when we start to see new models and new ways of doing things, like we're seeing with people like Ashton running for office.
Ashton, let me ask you, we talked about these models and these sort of stereotypes ingrained. To what extent had you taken them on board, and did you have to sort of work with yourself? I mean, was there any measure of guilt just because this is something you've had to fight against and say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be feeling this way?
Of course. And I think that feeling is every working mom in this entire country and across the world has this feeling of how do you do things that matter and important and balance that with your deep desire to be there and provide for your children. And for us, this has been really a restructuring of our family dynamic. And after 8 years of being the primary parent who's made all the decisions, it's been a transition for us. And one day I came home from being in Raleigh a couple of days, and my daughter said, Dad made some new rules while you were gone. And, you know, that's just an example of something that would not have happened, but has strengthened our family because we all have better relationships now.
Well, there's a moment in the podcast, Ashton, in the episode that you're in, where you realize your daughter never got picked up from ballet. Can you tell us that story? I think it's instructive.
Yes. And as maybe embarrassing as my initial reaction is, I'm glad that it was part of the podcast because it's real that and juggling all things, we drop a ball now and then or miscommunicate with the babysitter. And in this instance, my daughter was sitting at ballet for a few minutes without being picked up. Of course, we don't want those moments to happen. And they're a given when you're going to be doing lots of things that you're passionate and care about. And so we want to minimize them as much as possible. But I also think even my daughter's teacher, who's had her for 2 years, talks about how this has helped her become more resilient. And I don't think that that's a bad thing in the long run.
But Catherine, it also points to the stakes, right? There are so few, and they are exceptional to some degree at this moment, working moms who are, and now we're talking about in particular politics, that the mistake becomes amplified 1,000%, whereas the dads who just walk out on the family, that doesn't seem to shine as brightly as a kind of critical error.
And yeah, unfortunately, I also think that this moment in the podcast, many other people commented to me about how powerful it was for them to see the idea that someone who's so accomplished does make mistakes. And we just need more stories. We need more examples. We need to not just have one or two people to look to. And I think this also speaks a lot to judgment. I think people are very hard on mothers and they're very hard on politicians. So the combination of those things, I think, it's just really important to show the human side to both being a politician and a mother.
Well, Ashton can give us the ground level view here in North Carolina, Catherine. But when it comes to moms running for office, what are you seeing around the country?
Well, we're definitely seeing more and more moms running for office across the country, which is really exciting. And like Ashton, putting that front and center for many, many years. There are some prominent politicians who did have young kids, and political analysts told them, don't mention it. Don't let anyone know. You want to minimize that because it's going to make voters question your commitment and ability. So I think as we're seeing way more diversity in who's running for office, we're going to get a lot more mothers running. And I'm personally very excited about seeing what kind of legislation and policy and sort of country we have when we have a more diverse legislative body.
Ashton, what's your instinct now, having served in the House for since the election? Again, we've heard teachers say they feel like they had an impact on those 2018 elections. Women certainly did. What's your sense of the feeling in the legislature and whether you're sensing that lawmakers are getting the message?
I think we're making progress. As you heard earlier, I think there are small steps, and I am actively working to support and recruit women on both sides of the aisle. We need more women, especially women with young children, voices here. It's good that there are three of us, but we need to magnify that greatly. And so I hope we can continue to work together and strengthen the voice of working moms here at the legislature and across leadership and politics in general.
Ashton Wheeler Clemons is a Democratic member of the North Carolina General Assembly. She represents the state's 57th House District that includes part of Greensboro. Catherine Goldstein is creator and host of the podcast The Double Shift. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You can hear more from The Double Shift and Catherine Goldstein at a listening party at the Pinhook in Durham on May 14th. Our very own Anita Rao will join her on stage for that event as well. And you can find out more about the podcast and read about Catherine's work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a collection of essays about mothers from one of the South's most celebrated writers. Hear about it on the State of Things in just a moment. Please stay tuned.